Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Okay.
Let's see.
So up for the Southpaws episode.
This is episode 415, I think. Let me look at the
400 and
Christ, we're still doing this. 420 live from Colorado. Hey.
Yeah, this would be 415.
I think I call this like super sonic no.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's appropriate. Okay, so as you can tell, we're tired. We just got back from food.
Yes, we just had Chewy's, and holy shit, we're full of Mexican. Whoa. I got the chimichanga, and I ate half of it, and I'm like, holy shit, I just want to have a food coma. I mean, it's 8 o'clock as we're starting to record tonight, and I shouldn't be this tired, but I just had a bunch of food, and, you know,
yeah,
go into my den and have a nap.
It doesn't look like a lot, but, man, it lands really heavy.
Yep. So, it's been 2 weeks since we last recorded, and unfortunately, Shiva is not here with us tonight. She has some medical issues that are keeping her on her ass. It's nothing major, but it's something that keeps her feeling pretty bad. So she's not joining us this week. Hopefully she's going to get it handled maybe next week, hopefully. But
yeah. We'll keep you informed.
So we're recording tonight in my den of sin with the green screen down, all the furry posters on the wall, and full vision of God and everyone. If God was standing in the doorway of my office.
What if God was one of us? Just a furry like one?
Well, I would say, why the fuck did he make us these goddamn... OC. Like, if he's a furry, why are we still these horrible fleshy humans?
Yeah.
Why are we sacks of skin and farts?
Ugly bags of mostly water.
Yes. I posted a thing into the Southpaws fan chat that was like, remember, you're just a bag of water and farts. And it's like a picture of this woman. It's like an inspirational photo. And then like the wind blowing her dress. There's like a little arrow that says farts. So it's been an interesting week in terms of reveals. So, you know, we have Detective Pikachu, which looks cool and fun. Pikachu, fat, fuzzy thing. We're going to get really nice, realistic Pokemans.
Yes.
Very excited.
Yeah, that's right. There was the additional trailer that had a lot more Pokemon.
And then, of course, there's the Sonic movie that's coming out. That's the topic, the title of this episode.
Yeah, it just keeps getting worse.
Yeah, in terms of, like, Sonic has seen a lot of redesigns over his years. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been around since 1991. Mm-hmm. I had to look that up the other day.
Yeah.
And he's gone through a lot of different incarnations. Like, some are good, some are bad, some are just plain weird, like the Weird Hog, where he's a werewolf hedgehog for the, like, Sonic Unleashed, I think it was on the Wii.
Was he like a hedgehog that turns into a bigger hedgehog?
He's like a bigger, angrier hedgehog with bigger claws and a mouth full of teeth.
Oh.
So, yeah. You know, the TF fans that are also Sonic fans are like, fuck yeah, Wormy Daddy.
Like, I saw one where, like, this person was having way too much fun in Photoshop, and they're like, first they gave him the new version, human eyes, and then they gave him a human nose, and he's like, oh, fuck it, let's give him a human mouth, and it was still on the side, but it was just, like, a human smile. And it's, like, really horrifying looking.
Yeah, we're starting light and easy because, man, it was... I mean, for me, I don't care that much. I'm not like this Master Sonic fan. And I figured, hey, if they're going to do the Pokemon all right, maybe they'll do Sonic okay. But that doesn't seem like they're really going to be the case.
You're right.
He has very separated eyes, so he doesn't have the weird mono eye thing going on, which would be really hard to recreate in a quote-unquote realistic film. They made his shoes weird. Instead of him having gloves, he just has white hands for some reason.
So I didn't know, like, I'm not, you know, it's not my genre, so I didn't know the difference, like, because I saw people saying, like, oh, why are his hands furry? And I hadn't realized that he'd been, like, a white glove-wearing character, like a Mickey Mouse type.
Well, because, like...
It's like, yeah, that is a really weird change. It's like the whole debate about Lucario's pants haunches.
Yeah. Are you a boy or a girl? I'm a Lucario. I mean, what's in your pants? They're not pants! You know? The design of it also prompted a really funny Ray the Doe comic. Did you see that one? Where it's like, the movie redesign. Where it's like, why is I so furry? Why are my antlers furry? Like, oh, do you have an image with your eye open? Ah, like the final panel is just like every part of Ray is just furry. Oh, including her eye.
Oh my god, no, I hadn't seen that one.
So, Sonic, oh no.
Yeah.
I mean, it's set in the real world. Jim fucking Carrey is Dr. Robotnik. It's not gonna be good, kids. I mean, I can probably say that Detective Pikachu is not gonna be great in terms of, like, a film, but I think all the Pokemon fans are gonna go like it. And it's, see it.
I think it'll probably be awesome. And I'm not even like a huge Pokemon fan.
Oh, we're gonna go fucking see it day one, man.
Yeah,
we will go see it, and then we'll record a podcast and be like, oh fuck yeah, I want to bone Mewtwo. Nah, I don't really.
Somebody was talking about how he had these big curvy hips or something,
and so like it made him more of a twink.
Yeah, I saw a comment about that.
Yeah, they made him more slim. I'm like, you didn't make him any less horny, you just made him a twink. Because let me pull up an image of Mewtwo on my phone. I have him in fucking Pokemon Go. I can make sure my phone's muted so it's not even making loud Pokemon noises here, you know, because look at them. He's got them fucking white ass hips, them girl hips. I mean, I say he, it's genderless fucking legendary. Like, they literally don't have a gender. They are just, are you a boy or a girl? I'm a Mewtwo. Right. So this one's named Jazz, and he's my most powerful Pokemon. He's a legacy fucking Confusion Shadow Ball. Yeah. Anybody that plays Pokemon Go will know what that means. Anyone else is like, what the fuck is he saying? So Pokemon the Text Pikachu, probably gonna be good. Sonic, eh. We'll see.
Like, we don't know anything about the story, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, like the trailers for Detective Pikachu, like, we it's definitely given us a layout of what the plot is. But there hasn't actually been a trailer for Sonic,
no,
right? It's just been a poster and some teaser images.
Yeah, the only reason that they know what he looks like is that a press kit got posted.
Oh. Okay.
Because, you know, retailers have to, you know, it's basically a design kit for putting out new like product.
Yeah,
like putting him on shirts and putting him on kids' birthday plates and stuff like that. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
So, you know, we could get ourselves a new horrifying Sonic the Head ice cream. But I mean, they've been doing all sorts of different Sonic shit for a long ass time. Like, Sonic Boom had its own little line of figurines for a bit. And that one's a pretty funny cartoon. But it's also on like Nickelodeon or whatever, Cartoon Network, I don't know. And that was a movie that when it first came out, the redesigns, everyone was mega down on. And then over a while, like, oh, this is actually a pretty good cartoon, and everybody shut the fuck up about it.
Right.
If there's a quality product, people will look past their initial misgivings about the look more often than not.
Yeah.
And unless they're just assholes.
Mm.
Like, it's just, it's not for you. It's not for us. It's for kids who like Sonic. And if adults can enjoy it, cool. But always remember, for things like this, it's not for you, an adult-ass listener of this podcast. It's for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Which, honestly, is kind of the same for Star Wars. Should keep that in mind. It's still a fairly simplistic story about good versus evil. We don't have to go too deep onto that.
Fiesta, 3 weeks.
Fiesta's in 3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
I need to unseal those boxes and get the PS4s out of storage and make sure they're all up to date, because they've got like a billion software updates to run, I'm sure.
And God,
I gotta make sure I get all the DLC for this shit lined up and downloaded. You know, make sure I have to finish unlocking characters for Brawl. That's gonna take a day by itself.
Yeah, man, get off your ass. Start playing video games like we pay you for.
All right, it's like, all right, kids, I'm going to do a 12-hour death stream of Smash Brothers Brawl and unlock everything, but you have to pay me in Amazon Prime, Twitch Prime subscriptions every hour I explode. So, also, hey, how about that Knotfest?
Oh.
This is more light silliness. So, just announced at Knotfest, it's a roadshow featuring Slipknot, Volbeat, Gojira Music, and Behemoth. Pre-sale starts 3/5 at 12 p.m. local time. Yes, Slipknot. This is an excellent title.
Yes.
You posted this in the chat, and I'm just like,
Yeah. I'm 12.
I'm 12, and what is this? Oh, yeah. I know what this is.
Isn't the Twitter at Knotfest?
Yeah, at Knotfest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that there's lots of furries being like, oh, yeah. That sounds like a fun time.
And there's one group of furries somewhere being like, God damn it, they took the name of the con we were going to have. We were going to have the first canine furries only adult. 18 up only con.
Oh, God. It's like you must wear, like, code of conduct indicates that you have to wear a husky harness. Like they sell at the con.
It's like the opposite.
Like the con security has leashes. Like, mm-hmm. they grab you. Like, you've been very bad boy. You must go to the crate, I guess. I don't know. I'm like...
The pound.
You go to the pound.
They have a room that's the pound. Yeah.
And not the fun kind. No. Also, in the movie world, it's the third anniversary of Zootopia.
Yep.
So that's fun.
That's awesome.
It's been 84 years.
Hashtag Arby's.
Ah, God. Other than that, like, see what else? Gamer dress.
Mm-hmm.
So
the picture of Sonic Fox.
Sonic Fox in the gamer dress.
In the gamer dress. That's pretty hot.
That was pretty hot. This was pretty funny. If you guys had not seen it, there is a company called Cranium Apparel who decided to do the most stereotypical clueless gamer dude thing possible.
Mm-hmm.
The tweet reads as follows. Get ready, female gaming community. Woman in clapping emoji. Esports dress now available. Dress emoji. It's high time that we do something for the female gamers who receive so much backlash in the community. Stay strong. We respect you. Heart emoji. Proudly supporting hashtag women in esports. Tag every female gamer you know. With a
oh my god, so they're painting getting hate fingernails. From every possible angle then, right?
Yeah, and it's like never before in esports, high quality polyester skin friendly gives a new identity to female gamers. Hashtag women in esports. It's a $53 polyester gamer dress with their logo on the chest, and you can put your gamer tag on the back. But it's sleeveless. And a skirt that maybe goes mid-thigh.
Mm-hmm. And they did admit in a follow-up tweet that no women were involved in designing it, but we're hoping to improve on that.
Yeah, it was actually like, I saw it.
So is it safe to assume that it doesn't have pockets then?
They actually did say it does have pockets.
It does have pockets, okay.
Which is nice, because women's dresses should have pockets.
Because you need like one massive pocket to put your controller in it because you're a woman in esports, yo.
We gotta have a pocket big enough to put your Nintendo Switch in, or else it's not a true gamer dress.
That's right, yeah.
And everyone's comments was like, just make comfortable sweats, loose tank tops, and like programmer socks, and you're good.
Okay, wait, so what's programmer socks?
Programmer socks are very important programming accoutrement.
Main time,
which is
wait, is it like the thigh highs?
They're the pink and white striped thigh high socks.
I remember I'd seen a reference to that. There's like it was something like this C sharp. Programming manual and customers frequently bought, and it was like the thigh high socks. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
Get your programming socks here. I saw those and I thought, those are cute, but I have massive fucking calves. I could never wear those.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to go to like fucking Torrid. You know, it's like the plus size Hot Topic.
Right.
Like, if you want to get something like that.
That there's Torrid, which sells out our stockings in packs of four.
Yep. And weird full body, like, blue jean dresses. Tar clothing. That's something that we could talk with Shiva about for a while. If she were here, like, so, Shiva, if a tar was to wear pants, would they wear them like this? Or like this? And it's just a blue jean, that fox tar that his entire body is covered in denim.
Oh my god, yes, the tar, the fox tar that's denim wearing tar. The Canadian tuxedo. Yeah.
God. Furry stuff, it's fun, y'all.
It is.
So I actually did a commission with an artist.
Yes.
So
you know, I retweeted it, and like he follows me, so I was like kind of happy to see him like pick up on it. It's like
So I found a pick that I wanted to get a version. It's like, all right, here's this pick. This is a bass. Here's this. Here's some references. And so I'm getting a Not Safe for Work commission of Saverin in the gamer dress.
Uh-huh.
And the image title is getting banned from Twitch.
Yes.
So you guys can imagine what's going on until I post it to FA, mm-hmm. or Renzi posts it to FA. So that's exciting.
Whack, whack, whack.
And it was like, their prices are actually pretty good for what I was looking for. Yeah. So there's that. I actually am engaging a bit with the furry economy. Oh my God. So that probably wraps it up in terms of like the fun business stuff, but now we have to answer the real hard fucking questions. Okay, Fuzz, how about this, Fuzz? New updates. Will the deep state disclose buried Antarctic civilization to distract from looming mass arrests?
Oh yeah, I saw that on somebody linked me to tweet, and like it's so 10 levels deep into whatever bizarre chain conspiracy nonsense that, like, the sentence doesn't even really, like, parse properly in my brain.
Yeah, so it's an image from another QAnon conspiracy website. You know, we like to dunk on QAnon here because it's 4chan plus boomers make a conspiracy theory. You know, the gist of it being that Donald Trump is leading this shadow war against the deep state, and who are also cannibal pedophiles who might also be aliens. And there are impending mass arrests that were supposed to have started December 10th and December 19th and December 31st and January 1st. And
it's like all these people that preach the end of the world, and the end of the world is going to happen in this year, and then this date, and then this date.
Mm-hmm.
And then they die, and then someone else takes up the mantle.
It's like that one guy that was something Jeffress, I think it was. Mm-hmm. That one in 2012 who was like, had all his followers sell all their shit and go around the country preach the end of the world, and then it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, well, fuck. So that's pretty funny, because I mean, you know, Antarctic civilizations and Vril and all these other things, it's this fantastic intersection of all these long-standing conspiracy theories, like, oh yeah, there actually is an ancient Antarctic civilization where there's the thing, you know, we need Kurt Russell down there.
Like, I've never heard of any of this. Like, I mean, obviously I've seen the thing with Kurt Russell, but the conspiracy theories.
I talked about this stuff on last podcast.
Really?
Like the Hollow Earth specifically. Like that there was portals at both North and South Poles and yada yada to get to the Hollow Earth. But then like they had that I was the same.
I tend to skip the weird paranormal and conspiracy episodes.
Oh, you're missing out.
But no, it's just I'm not really into that. Like, I listen to like their serial killer stuff because like the true crime aspect is interesting.
Yeah.
But
I love it because just
I listen to bonkers. The cult stuff because like some of the cult stuff is just so over the top.
Yeah. Have you listened to the Skinwalker Ranch ones?
Sort of in the background, yeah. I haven't really been fully like taking them in.
But no, this is just like seeing some of that. Like, I heard about that on last podcast, and now there's people legitimately talking about this. And,
oh my God.
It's a screen cap of the thing.
Yeah.
And it's like Q, and it has a picture of Comey and Obama and Hillary and Loretta Lynch and Sally Halls and all these supposedly reptilian space pedophiles.
So much to unpack there.
And it's like, there's so much actually going on in the world of politics that they have to distract somehow. Because, like, okay,
Manafort.
Cohen got a few years in prison, and Manafort getting only like 4, which is like, seriously? He must have turned some pretty heavy state's evidence if he's fucking only getting 4 years. If I recall
correctly, though, there's like, he still is going to be charged with he's going to be sentenced for 2 other charges he was found guilty on that's in a different district. So, like, the prosecutor was basically banking on if the Virginia judge where he got sentenced today is really lenient, he still has to face another sentencing next week. So he's 69. He's in poor health. He's already got 4 years, so that's 73. And then he might get more. I don't know how much more next week. So, I mean, he's looking at having a real shitty time and possibly it being a life sentence.
Plus, he's like massive amounts of asset forfeiture.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. This shitbag has done all this stuff for so long and made all this ill-gotten gains. So, I mean, it's not just affecting him.
Like, yeah, he totally should have gotten more. But I'm just saying, don't worry yet, because he's going to get more next week. And, you know, if the next guy throws the book at him and gives him, like, 10 years or something, then he's fucked. He's going to die in jail.
Yeah.
Like, in other jailhouse news, though, this really is just like, what the fuck, guys? There was it's either the Wall Street Journal or the Washington Post did an article on Martin Shkreli, the pharma bro, most hated man in America.
Yeah, who's only in prison because he stole from the rich.
Right, yeah. Most people hate him for making like a 750% increase in his drug price.
Yeah, basically.
I don't remember. It was so completely over the top and evil. Mark, but anyway.
Remember, Fuzz, 2018 was 10 years ago.
Oh, Christ, I know. He has a cell phone in jail. It is an illicit cell phone. It's, quote, contraband. And it's also against the jail's rules to operate a business in any capacity as an inmate. But he's actually phoning and texting other directors on his pharma company, of which he is still on the board of directors.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And, you know, they're talking about, you know, how he has, like two guys that kind of protect him, keep him from being beat up by the other inmates, because he's, like, super scrawny. But he's working out. And, like, they just did this whole fucking Martha Stewart, Better Homes and Gardens kind of coverage of how he's spending his days. And it's like just flagrantly violating the law. And I hope his dumb ass comes up for when he's supposed to be released. And they're like, you know, you've broken all these other rules, so we're going to tack on another 5 years or something like that. I think he's in for 7 years, I think it said. He'll be out in like 2023 or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and anytime, like, I hate to say that and feel this way, but it's just like, yeah, we'll see if we survive that long.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's like, we'll get there when we get there.
There's just riots in the streets after the 2020 elections. And
who fucking knows, man?
Just fucking kill each other and...
Oh no, they've instituted the purge.
Yeah.
Let's not do that. So here is something that has been in the news a lot, and something that I thought has just been blown completely out of the water in terms of people's faux outrage at. Have you paid any attention to the situation with Ilhan Omar?
I read up on it today because Congress the House passed a bill about anti-discrimination, which passed like blah, blah, blah to 24 or something like that, some tiny amount. Uh-huh. And everyone who voted against it was a Republican. And yeah, apparently, like, she said a thing that, like, Jewish Americans found really insulting. So they wanted to pass a rule that you can't be anti-Semitic in Congress. And Congress broadened it to be like, can't be anti-Semitic, can't be anti-Muslim. Yeah, basically, it's a resolution that says hate bad, which, I mean, we all knew. And I'm honestly surprised that more Republicans didn't vote against it, because it's like specifically says that anti-Islamic is bad, and it calls out like Charlottesville and white supremacy and stuff like that. So I'm actually surprised it did pass by such a large margin.
Well, the reason that it was bugging me, and this is one of those things that you lose it in the weeds.
Yeah.
The reason that everybody's so fucking mad about Ilhan Omar is that, first of all, she's a Somali refugee. She's seen some shit and knows how bad ethnostates can be.
Right.
And when someone asked her, what makes you think that Israel has an undue influence in American politics, she simply replied with AIPAC. AIPAC is American-Israeli Political Action Committee. They are obviously mega pro-Israel, throw lots and lots of money into races. And all she said is, like, these people are specifically pro a foreign country, yes, that we're very friendly with, but she said that, yes, these are politicians that their explicit purpose is to influence America to be pro-Israeli at the expense of everybody else in the region, And then they blew this completely out of proportion to her basically being like, you should fucking stab Jews in the street, you know?
Yeah, they basically made, I disagree with some political thing regarding Israel into, let's take the Iran position and
nuke
them off the map. And it's like, that's not what she said.
You know, like, Israel is a literal ethnostate. They have committed war crimes out the ass. They're not great at all. Just because they're our ally over there doesn't mean really anything. We are allies with a lot of bad countries as Americans.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been this...
Saudi Arabia.
Oh, God, yeah. We'll be giving those guys nukes soon, too, thanks to Trump. Jesus. Great things are going. Yeah. But with her, like, they have planted so many fucking targets on this poor woman's back. She's like a freshman congresswoman, too.
Yeah, she's already getting a ton of hate for being a Muslim.
A Somali-American immigrant Muslim who wears her headscarf. So, like, she very much stands out.
Yeah.
Her and Rashida Tlaib are, like, the first two Muslim women in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And they are both, it's like, those two plus Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are, like, the trifecta of Satan for anybody on the right wing.
Yeah.
And so, like, when it comes to Ilhan Omar, though, there's been all this shit, like, putting her next to pictures of the Twin Towers exploding, and they're literally trying to get this woman killed for the sin of saying there's literally a lobby that's trying to make the government more blatantly pro-Israel.
Right.
And anti-Palestinian. And so it's just been completely wild. And the fact that the Democrats, of all people, were going to censure her to start until everybody was like, this ain't it, chief, till eventually became this watered down hate bad thing. I mean, yes, hate bad, obviously. Mm-hmm. But saying politicians with money, you know, rich motherfuckers are buying our country's democracy. That's just how it fucking is, y'all. If you don't recognize that fact, take the blinders off, okay? This is like the same as like saying, hey, you know, the tobacco lobby was against, you know, anti-smoking rules. You know, any sort of special interest group is going to try to do what they do. Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, it's like it's another foreign country. And to claim that saying anything against Israeli policy is anti-Semitic is really weird, because it's not like the most people supporting modern Israel politics are Jewish to begin with. Like, the people that really, 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 really want Israel to succeed and nuke the rest of the countries around them are evangelical, millennialist Christians who want to see the literal motherfucking end of the world happen. They, like, the whole, like, this is something that,
tell me about some end of the world shit.
Let me tell you about some dispensationalist bullshit. So, part of the reason that they want to move the American embassy in the capital of Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem is because they believe that they can kickstart the fucking apocalypse, as foretold in the book of Revelations, written by some dude on the Isle of Patmos who was probably tripping balls.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, like, oh, you know, they moved the capital to Jerusalem, they fucking put the embassy there because, you know, obviously America has a very important role to play in Armageddon, I guess. And then basically they rebuild the Temple Mount, when then Russia attacks them, which, you know, Gog and Magog, it changes from decade to decade as to who these villainous other countries that are attacking them could be. You know, it could be Saudi Arabia, it could be Turkey, it could be Russia, it could be Iran, it could be Egypt, it could be any other country that doesn't like Israel. It was very popularized in the Left Behind books by Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins, which was a very big deal back in the day. I remember when I was young enough going to my parents' church. Just all boils down to, like, the people that want to see the literal fucking end of the world are freaking out because a freshman congressperson from Michigan said that, hey, these guys throw a lot of money at American politics.
Mm-hmm. The fact that, like, a big chunk of American foreign policy is being controlled by people who think that they're moving the pieces around the board to create an end of the world scenario for supernatural beings to return and rapture them is fucking terrifying. Like, you know, religion and spirituality should have absolutely no place in governance at all. Like, have your personal spirituality, pray or meditate or whatever you have to do. But holy fuck, man, the fact that we actually take these ideas seriously in like a national policy making level is completely bonkers to me.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, you're totally welcome to dig up, because I realize what I was going on about sounds completely insane, but it doesn't take a lot of digging to kind of understand where these people are coming from in terms of like their understanding of trying to kickstart the end of the world. Modern evangelical eschatology is a very wild area to look into.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, as somebody who grew up in that scene, you know, Church of Christ was real big on end of the world, and the Left Behind books were really pushed to the kids. There was even a Left Behind the Kids series of books.
Ugh.
So, like, you had the ridiculous nonsense of the adult books and also a for the kids portion as well. Because
mm-hmm.
the magical cutoff for Age of Innocence was 12. So, like, all the main characters in the kids' books were, like, 13 and above.
Right.
So, like, I think one of the characters, like, his 13th birthday was, like, the day before the rapture. Therefore, he was no longer innocent, and therefore, his parents are raptured, but he is not.
Was he fucked up that much in that one day?
I guess. I don't know, man. It's some bad shit that sticks in your head, and you can't ever delete it. It's taking up memory space that I could use to save porn images in.
Yeah.
So, the other thing that I thought was interesting is that, basically, the coup that America tried to do in Venezuela has basically failed.
Oh?
The whole deal with Maduro and Guaido and all that right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real fucking sticky mess, right?
It's a bit of a sticky wicket, what?
Yeah. You know, they have some troubles going on.
Right, yeah.
They need to have a spot of tea, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
So, the whole thing in Venezuela is because America is fucking with them. They've got a lot of oil. They want to privatize that oil so that Exxon can make more money.
Now, you expect me to believe that America would fuck with a company, a country that has a lot of oil? Like, America doesn't do things like that.
I know, right? It's not like America hasn't instigated at least a dozen right-wing coups in South America since the 1980s.
This country, man.
It's,
oh my God.
It's fucking wild. But I thought it was interesting that it's been noted that there was an article from Argentina that I saw screen caps and translation of, were basically that the person proclaiming themselves president, Juan Guaido, basically convinced Mike Pence that, no, half the military will totally join my side.
Uh-huh.
And Pence believed him, and 0.1% of the Venezuelan army actually joined Guaido, and Pence is really mad about this.
Oh.
And then he had fled the country and was like, if I go back to Venezuela, I will be a martyr. And he came to Venezuela, Maduro went, lol, and has left him alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this person who tried to, you know, set up his, quote, government in exile and do all this shit was like, we're just going to ignore you. You tried and failed. See ya.
So what was he trying to get out of Pence? Like, what did Pence do anything?
Juan Guaido wants to declare himself the president of Venezuela after the elections, even though a bunch of other countries, including the United States, declared completely legit. And because Guaido is more familiar and welcoming to American business interests.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to privatize the oil industry. He wants to sell off his country's resources.
Right.
Whereas Maduro, who is not a good person in any respect, he seems to be pretty bad too, wants to maintain the government's nationalization of their public resources.
Right.
The entirety of the situation in Venezuela is manufactured by the U.S.
Yeah.
I'd
heard that.
Like, the U.S. was trying to quote-unquote send aid, and, like, they intercepted it, and it was just fucking crates of guns.
Jesus.
You know, this was a coup attempt that has seemingly, at this point, failed completely. And, you know, you had John fucking Bolton, who architected us into the fucking Iraq War, who was trying to get, oh, if anything happens to Guaido, you know, that means war, which is part of the reason why when he marches his ass back into Venezuela, nothing happens, because The last thing the Venezuela wants is a fucking pretense for America to come in and, quote, bring some freedom their way, you know?
Yeah, yeah, because freedom is most efficiently delivered via bomb.
Yeah. There's this old Soviet propaganda poster, which isn't really propagandistic in reality. It's like American foreign aid, and it's a knife cutting bread, which then, like, morphs into a bomb.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of how it goes. So those have been two things that are like America fucking up with the rest of the world or on behalf of the rest of the world, you know, because there's always so much going on. It's really hard to keep tabs on everything. But
yeah, these are like two things. I'm out of the loop on quite a bit because I'm actually trying to step back a little bit. But,
you know,
I just don't have the mental health bandwidth like this month, this year. You know,
I completely understand.
Yeah.
And like, I much rather engage with fun, silly things or laugh at the gamers, capital G, TM gamers, because they're very mad that a game called Rape Day isn't going to be out on Steam. That's easy to laugh at. But, you know, the government being both a bunch of fucking fascists and then a bunch of spineless wimps on the Democrat side. It's just, that's frustrating and that's hard to keep up with.
Yeah.
But one of those things where any sort of discussion on, like, Ilhan Omar, like, saying anything on Twitter is just inviting the bots. It's like, we can say things here that don't necessarily, they reach out to you guys listening, but I'm not putting out there on Twitter for Trump Wall 2020 to pick up on and bot me.
Yeah, yeah. The world is a bitch.
The world is a fuck, so you need to be nice to each other, okay? Like, that's the important part.
Give each other consensual hugs.
Yes.
Put the sensual in consensual.
That's actually, like, going back to furry topics, that's going to be one of those important aspects of my Your First Con panel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be making a PowerPoint.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going the full fucking hog. I got PowerPoints for both my furry mascots thing and the Your First Con panel, because last year's was very off the cuff and impromptu, but with I and my co-panelists for the Your First Con.
You should ask that artist, and you'd have to use some Google Foo to find the image, but there's that great image about why you shouldn't pet and scritch fursuiters in certain areas, and it shows, like, the dropped crotch design, right?
Uh-huh.
So if you're scritching their belly, you're really touching the real person's groin inside it. And it's sort of one of those, you know, yes check, no X kind of designs. And, like, I think it's a really good visual for, hey, you know, don't randomly do shit to fursuits. Yeah. And
it is kind of going to be a little more comprehensive than 621.
Yeah.
It kind of needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, hey, you know, if somebody's in cosplay, ask to take their photo. Do not grope the fursuiters. Do not rub your face between the boobs of a fursuiter. If the fursuit has boobs, do not touch them and possibly damage the suit. Do not randomly run up behind the fursuiter and hug them, because you will spook the shit out of the person who can neither hear nor see you.
Yeah. You know,
fursuiters are panicky animals. Do not frighten them, please.
They're like horses with blinders on. Like,
yeah.
Your range of vision inside a suit head is very restricted to what it normally would be.
I would think it'd be cool as hell to, like, rig up a VR suite, so, like, put, like, that headset into a fucking thing and have a camera feed.
Uh-huh.
You'd have, like, a VR vision, make, like, a cyber furry.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, our tech's not there yet. It's
right,
not
yeah.
thin enough to have, like, an Iron Man screen inside.
Yeah.
You know how, like, the Iron Man,
the heads-up display.
Yeah. It's like, warning, child, at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Do not back up.
Warning, person with sticky hands approaching. You activate the shields that go over the suit, a blade of armor from Voyager.
Warning, stinky furry approaching. And, like, they get highlighted with green stink lines coming off of them.
And there's little like, sphincter-like things in the nostrils that go close up when a smelly furry approaches.
That would be funny. But, yeah, definitely.
And it temporarily cycles the air around until you're safe. And
just make a cyber suit that just slaps a furry suit over.
Yeah, make a still suit from Dune and sew some fur to it.
Yeah, you just need a head and some gloves and a tail, and you're good.
Right,
you know. Simple. Because that's totally how first shooters want to be. Like, honestly, that'd be hilarious. You know, Iron Man, Tony Stark fucking goes to a fur con and just inside has an Iron Man suit, but he's got a fursuit on the outside. And it's like, oh no, the terrorists are attacking the furry con. And he's fucking like blast holes through the paws. It's like, oh no, they're beans.
Oh, that's great.
So Panther sent me a message.
Mm-hmm.
So the message that Panther sent me was related back to our earlier conversation about Manafort and Cohen's sentencing.
Right.
There was a woman in Texas who was sentenced to 5 years in prison for voter fraud. She incorrectly voted?
Right.
Like, in that she shouldn't have voted, but was told she could vote, but then turns out she shouldn't have voted, but she's black, so she gets 5 years in prison. And
I thought she was Latina, but I could be wrong. Okay.
She is not white.
Right.
Which is probably
which
is a good part of the reason why she's probably got 5 years in prison, because there was that one woman in North Carolina who was a Trump voter who got like a slap on the wrist.
Specifically did voter fraud on purpose.
Yeah.
And she got a slap on her wrist. I don't remember what her sentence or fine or whatever was, but it was not 5 years in prison.
Yeah. Also, the first comment on that is that Blagojevich has also probably got to be pissed tonight. Because Rob Blagojevich, he was the former governor of Illinois, I think, went to prison for like a decade, I think, or something.
Was he the governor of Illinois or was he the mayor? No, he was the governor of Illinois.
He was Illinois politician of some flavor.
No, you're right. He was the governor of Illinois because the whole thing with him was Obama's Senate seat.
And he was trying to literally sell it.
Yeah, he was trying to sell it because as governor, he had the authority to
appoint
a temporary senator until the next election or whatnot. So, yeah. I was getting him confused with, like, mayor of Chicago, but he wasn't. He was the governor of Illinois. Trying to sell the Senate seat. Jesus. So why were you saying he would be mad? Because Manafort got off
lighter than he did? Yeah, they got off Cohen, like, 3 years, Manafort, 4, whereas he got, like, a decade.
Yeah.
And then Panther pointed out.
He's a Democrat.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You notice that when the left fucks up, it's generally, well, you're fucked. You're out of the party now. You know, Al Franken is no longer a senator.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're talking about Justin Trudeau's career is basically over because of some shit he pulled up in Canada.
But then you've got Rob Ford being a shit in Quebec, I think.
I don't know. But
he's a right-wing Canadian politician.
But then you look the right wing, and it's like, you know, it's like that. Yeah, they literally impeached Bill Clinton over a blowjob. But like, if he had done a tenth of what Trump has done, and not even a full term yet, he would have been out on his ass.
Yeah,
you know, and especially since like some of the fucking people that prosecuted Clinton at the time have been defending Trump, and it's just the audacity, the caucasity, the hypocrisy, it's
all the fun words.
Yeah, just, you know, the only like liberal person that's currently getting away with their shit is the governor of Virginia.
Yeah.
And that's a relatively recent development, like,
because apparently everybody in Virginia did blackface at some point.
Oh my god, I was talking about this on Twitter the other day. Like, my stepfather was a racist.
Uh-huh.
You know, I grew up in a very racist environment. The anecdotes I shared on Twitter were when I got to the point where I was like starting to get interested in girls and dating, he literally told me he would disown me if I ever brought a black girl home. And he also wanted to join the KKK, except he couldn't because he's Catholic. So that's the environment that I grew up in. And I have somehow made it to the age of 43 without ever wearing blackface.
Yeah.
Like, the way the people in Virginia that have been talking about this talk, it's just like you could just like, whoops, I fell into a puddle and it looked like I had blackface and oh no. You know, like, it just sort of happens. Like, oh, everyone has that one day in high school where we all
half of us did blackface and half of us wore hoods, you know?
Yeah, like, fucking no. And they try to blow it off as like it was the 80s, and I'm like, it wasn't the 1780s.
I was around in the 80s and I never did that.
I mean, come the fuck on. Anyway, I'm just, when people say stupid shit, like, you know, the thing with, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, I think, like, when the interview with John Wayne came out and everyone was like, some people are trying to dismiss it of, well, it was a different generation and it was that time, but, like, other people in Hollywood who were the same age and literally the same generation had polar opposite views on race and civil rights. And it's like, no, he was just a conservative dickwad. Even going back in American history, there were people in the 1700s that were like, slavery is not a good thing. We shouldn't be doing this. This is immoral. It's like, there were human beings alive at that time that knew that slavery was bad. So you can't even, like, dismiss Thomas Jefferson owning slaves as, well, it was the olden days and people just did that, when other people knew fucking better.
Yeah.
At the same time.
And Panther has added via another text message, a tweet, imagine if the Saudis had murdered a journalist and President Email Lady did nothing about it because she had business ties with the royal family. Hannity would have shit a fucking tire iron. Congressmen would be falling all over each other in a mad dash to hold hearings.
Holy fuck, seriously. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. And just the fact that Congress grilled her for like 11 hours of testimony, and she sat there and calmly answered their questions. And meanwhile, you look at fucking Trump, who's just screaming and freaking out on Twitter, being a big fucking baby, and all of these cronies of his that are now going to jail. Like, they didn't find shit on Clinton because there wasn't shit there to find. It was a manufactured fucking outrage from the right. But I guess they assumed that, hey, we're doing fucked up shit, so the other side must be doing fucked up shit, too. And it's like, I'm sorry, I would like to say that the Dems are smart enough to get away with shit, but they're not. They're really not. Their fucking email server would not have been hacked if they were.
Yeah.
It's just that Hillary wasn't doing illegal shit. Everyone in Trump's orbit is.
So, going back to the voter fraud thing, too,
yeah.
Have you paid any attention to, what, North Carolina? Where they were so fucking shady that they've ordered another election.
Oh, my God. Wait, was this, like,
this was the
congressional representative?
It was a congressional race with some extreme shenanigans where, like, Republican was literally sending people out to go pick up absentee ballots who then would either, like, I believe, mark the ballots for him and then turn them in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was literally so egregious that they had no other option but to order another election.
Wow. How shady do you have to be for a fucking red state to actually be like,
hey, whoa, hey, this is a bit too much, y'all. Come on. Maybe dial it back a little bit.
They need to do that shit in Georgia. They need to redo that governor's race because that was super, super fucking shady.
We can say that about a lot of things.
That one in particular Florida really too. Popped out to me. And it's like, I wouldn't put it past Ted Cruz to have pulled some shenanigans here in Texas, but at least...
It wasn't that close.
At least in that race, it was like, Beto got closer than a lot of people ever had before. And I'm like, I find it totally believable that he would lose like 48 to 52 or 4 or whatever. But the governor's race in Georgia was like super fucking close, and the guy who's in the race running should not also be in charge of the fucking electoral process.
Oh yeah, like that's like a massive conflict of interest.
Yeah. What else we got? Do we have any good news to discuss?
Well, let's see. I finished. So I actually went back through, and the good news, fun part stuff, I went back through my giant list of Humble Monthly games and found a bunch that I was like, oh shit, I own this? So I was thinking that once I finish Astroneer and go back and finish Kingdom Hearts 2, I want to do like maybe Hollow Knight, which is a platformer with a cute little NB bug critter as its main character. Cool. It's all bugs and stuff.
I could probably do really that hard with some of the book bundles. Like, I've got a bunch of ebooks on my Kindles that I imported from Humble ebook bundles that I'm like, I don't even know what's in there.
Like, I just bought the most recent bundle Mm-hmm. The Indie Muddle 20.
I remember when that shit started, and I thought, it's like, oh, that's a really cool idea. And then they just kept coming.
Yeah. But the Humble Monthly is like, I went and I think I had like 40 emails from Steam about shit that I'd redeemed. Mm-hmm. And then I compiled a list of probably an equal amount of games that I'd like just forwarded to Tyrion because he was like, hey, I was like, man, I've got all these games on Humble Monthly that I'm probably not ever going to use.
I saw him posting on Twitter about
so
that.
So I went down the list and literally submitted a list of like 30 titles to him. Uh-huh. Like, if any of these are interested, let me know.
Yeah.
Because either they're not, I'm not going to get around to them, they're not really my thing, or I think Tyrion would like them, that I'm not going to get around to.
Yeah.
So if he gets back to me, maybe I'll like do something else with the remaining codes. Because it's some neat games, and some of it's just some like, eh. I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's this one that seems really bizarre called Perfect Date, which is like, we're going to do a weird animal dating sim, like Hateful Boyfriend, and try to be dark and goofy, but the art style was really unappealing from what I saw.
Mm.
I beat Astroneer. That was fun. I've been doing streaming late into the night and actually having people come by. That's been good. Actually, I had like 68 people show up at one time because somebody raided me with a party of like 50. So that was really cool, though, because I had a bunch of people watching me and got a lot of people following me. So that was nice.
Neat.
That's good news.
Yeah.
My parents are doing okay. My dad's doing good. That's good. Good news.
That's great.
He's healing up still. He'll be finally rid of that damn wound vac in a week or two.
Suck the evil out of him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's been such a major pain in his ass and literally for months at this point.
Yeah.
So that's good that it'll be done soon.
Yeah.
Let's see. Some other cool stuff. Fiesta prep and getting art done. And let's see. Got to go back. I know I put a couple things into the topics chat. Oh, here was something funny that you put into the chat, Fuzz. Oh,
okay.
The dean at a New Jersey university resigned, saying the school's decision not to consider bringing Chick-fil-A to campus because of the opposition to LGBTQ community made her feel like, quote, I had been punched in the stomach.
Yeah, she cited her sincerely held Christian beliefs.
That pickle brine chicken must be represented on campus or it's oppression.
And I'm just like, I think I tweeted something like, I'm really fucking tired of homophobes using religion to justify their bigotry. You know, like, they're as low an opinion of religion as I have anyway. I know that there are lots of queer religious people, Christians, Muslims, Jewish people, religions of all stripes, who have found a way to reconcile their gender or sexuality with their faith. And like the real right-wing conservative people like to say that the Bible's not open to interpretation and it is very clear and that everything happened. And it's like, there are fucking contradictions in the first fucking chapter. And it's like, it's all a matter of interpretation. And the only reason that you say you're home, you think gay people are going to hell because of your religion is bullshit. It's just, you don't like gay people and you found a loophole in your religion to justify your bullshit.
Mm-hmm. And it's also pointed out that she just resigned her deanship. She's still on faculty.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So she's lining herself up to get that wingnut welfare, like, so she can go on Fox News and be a, you know, cultural Marxism expert, because I suffered for them not bringing a business onto the campus at a non-sectarian university.
Oh.
thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Because it's just so out there. And all these people like, oh, you know, people that say they boycott Chick-fil-A don't have Chick-fil-A near them. I'm like, no, I've not eaten a Chick-fil-A in years and years and years. And there's one right down the street. It's okay that I don't go there because there's way too many good options around here to go waste my time with Jesus chicken.
Yeah, I have not eaten it in, it's over 10 years at this point, I think. Whenever I first found out that their CEO was like, it's someone I was talking to about that. I don't remember who it is. It might have been you, actually, over lunch. But it's like, I mean, it'd be one thing if it was just like, oh, the CEO doesn't like gay people. But it's so much worse than that. Like, they're literally funding gay youth torture.
Yeah.
You know, he's donating to conversion camps. Yeah. It's like, It's not just I don't like gay people. It's like, let me express this in the worst fucking way possible.
This is another one of those things I know where, like, some of these camps, these conversion camps, are literally located out of the country. They're in, like, fucking Honduras and shit.
So they're, like, CIA black sites.
Yeah. They literally, like, smuggle these gay kids out of the country on chartered flights and keep them in foreign country against their will at their parents' permission. And so, like,
but even isolated from any friends or social group that could be supporting
And if
them.
They flee, well, they sure probably don't speak Spanish. So now, is Chick-fil-A giving to those groups specifically? I don't know. But I know that they funnel money towards evangelical causes, and this is the type of stuff that they do on their auspices. So
fuck them.
Yeah, fuck Chick-fil-A. But another good thing. So I think it's funny for that person to choose to die on that hill, but also, like, it's good for the school to not necessarily bring in a Chick-fil-A over something else.
Yeah.
Worry more about your LGBT students and faculty than, you know, an outside business.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I thought was really cool is that Scott Benson has finally launched his cooperative gaming studio.
So yeah, I've heard a little bit about this. I don't know the details or what all that entails because I'm not knowledgeable about game dev. So it's called
the Glory Society. So Scott Benson and Bethany Hockenberry, they're two of the members of the Night in the Woods team, along with the artist and musician Ren Farron. They're making, as I quote, "We're making a cool game or two. It is a worker-owned and operated cooperative to make video games." Think of things like Winco Foods, or in the gaming space, there's co-ops like...
Is it Costco a co-op also?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
REI is like customer-owned, but that's still like there's a corporate owner at the top. Winco is employee-owned, I believe. In the gaming space, Motion Twin, the guys, they're a French company. They've got a couple, like a dozen or so employees. They made Dead Cells, which was a really good indie game that got tons of awards last year, and I put like 40 hours into. I also got it for free, which is really cool. They sent me code for whatever reason. And they're a cooperative. And basically the way it works, it's like a flat management structure where everybody kind of has to concur on their shit. There's not like an owner. It's being set up in kind of opposition to the current state of the gaming industry in terms of basically you bust your ass, you crunch your life away, and then you get laid off at the end of the game, basically.
Right, yeah.
To try to basically make a better worker-owned thing so they're not beholden to outside investors. So that things like what's going on with Activision Blizzard, what happened to Toys R Us, what happened to Payless, what's happening with Patreon, what's happening with Lyft and Uber is not going to happen, where these vulture investors come in, demand ridiculous return on investment, and then when they aren't getting a billion percent back per year, increasing over time, they gut the company and sell off the pieces.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened to Payless.
I heard Payless Shoes was closing a bunch of stores.
All of them. They're going out of business completely.
Oh, okay.
Because what happened to Toys R Us happened to them.
Yeah.
They got bought, saddled with all their own debt, and oh no, they can't make their payments. I guess we have to shut it down. 3,000 stores or something like that closing down in malls and storefronts and all this other stuff. Like the one up by my gym is completely closed already. There's the one in the Galleria. I think there's one in the Galleria that's closing.
Think of the thousands of jobs between just Payless and Toys R Us.
I mean, Toys R Us was like 33,000 people.
Yeah.
And this is done at the fucking behest of a dozen rich motherfuckers at the top, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good that there are people that are trying to do a different thing. It's not completely unheard of, but it is very rare, and it does require the right people involved. But it is certainly better, I believe, than the traditional capitalist model where if, I think we've talked about this before, Bobby Kotick makes a bad decision, 800 people lose their jobs. But if the people below him make a good game that sells really well, he gets $1.5 million for being Bobby Kotick. So much love and support to them. I hope that they do well because the gaming industry, it needs to fucking unionize. And like the AFL-CIO is actually in the process of like reaching out to people because they're like, you know, you can't they can't come in and set up a force a union on the thing. That has to be from the workers.
Yeah, but they can give them their tips and tricks, basically. Yeah.
It's a big deal for the AFL-CIO to come in and say, you need to unionize and we're here to help. Right. Because like Game Workers Unite is a pro-union group in the gaming industry mm-hmm. that is trying to get shops unionized. This has happened also in like writers unions, like Vice now has a writers union.
Mm-hmm.
Various newsrooms have writer unions.
Yeah, because I heard like there's a lot of sites like that where like you're just pumping out garbage really quickly and being paid like nothing to just like write listicles and shit yeah. like that.
And yeah, they might not be able to stop layoffs, but they leave people in a better space than they would be if they weren't part of a union mm-hmm. because they can arrange severances and whatnot.
Right. And they could also hopefully a game workers union could push for improvement in working conditions and be like, no, we're not going to do these fucking 80-90 hour work weeks. You're going to come up with a sensible fucking development cycle.
Yeah, because, you know, this goes back to like 2004 with like the EA wife. Nobody remembers that. I'm just old. Mm-hmm. But there was this happened twice before.
Is that basically like a Navy wife? Like,
yeah, it's mm-hmm. a Navy wife, but it's an EA wife is talking about her husband and their shit ass working conditions working at EA under into that time frame. Mm-hmm. And then there was the Rockstar wife, which was the same fucking thing, I think in 2011, mm-hmm. where similar like these people are working 100-hour weeks and then they got fucking laid off after the game shipped. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're not getting paid overtime kind of thing.
And it boggles my mind that there are gamers that will actually defend these practices. Or you were reading some of the tweets to me at one point where we're like, well, that's only 12 hours a day. And if you do this, you still get to work only 8 hours on Sunday or something like that. And I was like, motherfucker, have you ever had a job? At 5:30, hell, fucking 2 hours before I'm off, I'm like, fuck this. I'm ready to walk out the damn door.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and the other thing is that it is just stupid because productivity starts dropping drastically after like a 6.5 hours point, you know? So like even our 8 hour days are ultimately unproductive. It's just so dumb. Like, I really wonder how, I don't know enough about the history of gaming to know like how this came to be. That this is what the dev cycle ended up being. This boom or bust, 100 hours a week or laid off is like your only two settings, basically.
The game industry is new enough that basically it didn't have any sort of the long-standing labor traditions that film and television do. Uh-huh. Though even there's some weird television writers union bullshit going on where like vulture investors are coming in and suppress basically the wages for being a TV writer are down like 25% over the last decade or something like that. And you've got these investors trying to come in and do some weird shit. I'd have to dig it up because I saw it and was like, that seems fucked, but I didn't look into it that much.
I bet all the big media conglomerates that keep buying each other is probably something with that.
Yeah, because I mean, consider now that Disney now owns most everything.
Yeah.
Because, like, they'll have Fox's television arm or Fox's, like, movie arm soon.
Yeah, it's come out that Dark Phoenix and the New Mutants are the last Marvel titles that are going to be released as 20th Century Fox films.
Uh-huh.
So after those two come out, I guess the X-Men and the mutant side of things will be rolled into the larger MCU with any future films there. So who knows whether they'll keep the same cast or they'll go with the same trajectory.
Because yeah, I mean, now it's like CBS, NBC, and then like ABC. One of those three is owned by Disney now.
ABC is owned by Disney.
Okay. And then, you know, CBS has their own little media empire, like CW, so they have all the DC shows.
Mm-hmm. I heard Arrow got canceled.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, breaking news, I guess.
Breaking fucking news.
I saw it on, like, the Twitter trends thing where it was, like, Arrow fans react to show's cancellation.
Now there's a tweet, like, Google said, Arrow to end after 10 episodes season 8 one day ago from Collider. IGN, Arrow ending after season 8 with shortened final season. Why Arrow has been canceled, but not other TV shows on Screen Rant. So, Like, that show was goofy and extremely dumb and not at all a bit of fun, but it's being canceled? Oh, no.
Like, I know a lot of folks that liked it. Like, I've never watched it myself, but, like,
Oh, it's so over the top and dumb. It's fun in that regard.
Right, like Legends.
Yeah, Legends. Whew, that show.
Like, I've seen the Arrow characters show up on Legends.
Oh, yeah, they all cross over. It's great. They
like always... Damian Dark and John Barrowman's character
in Flash. Yeah. And in Legends. And in this. Well, because, like, and then they have their once a year three or four show crossover, which is a crossover between Arrow, Supergirl, Flash, and Legends sometimes.
Right, yeah.
And it's, like, all the shows crossover. And,
yeah, so weird that they're canceling it. Like, I'm
And that really, was the first one, too.
I'm really curious whether, like, were their ratings down? Or, like, are they going to be getting rid of all of those shows? Or... Because, like, Netflix, it was like dominoes. I mean, once they canceled fucking Iron Fist was the first one to cancel. Then after that, it was like Iron Fist, Luke Cage, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Punisher. It just went boom, boom, boom.
Constantine has a new show? Huh. Basically,
I'd seen him. He popped up on Legends Tomorrow as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess he got his own show.
Yeah, basically, they're like, the show's not as popular as it was anymore. They've played out everything that a low-level street super can do, and, you know, they want to make him leave a legacy, and then they can wrap it up, which just means they can use those characters in other CW shows.
Right, yeah.
And apparently Flash is now the number one thing in that group of shows. So.
Right.
Okay, the more you fucking know. I did not know that, Fuzz. Thank you.
Sure. Breaking news.
Yeah. On everything that we discussed this evening, the breaking news is the Arrow got canceled, and that was from a day ago.
Yeah. The world moves way too fast right now, so, yeah.
How cute. So, on Mastodon, someone tweeted, "Hi, I'm Finn. Welcome to Finn Shop. I sell Finn treasure," and it's someone's, like, Second Life avatar sitting at a little vendor shop. Uh-huh. Is being cute, and I said, "Hi, I need a six-pack of Scrim, please." And they replied to me with six little Finnick emojis and It's like, aw, that's cute. Mastodon, snouts.online. It's good.
Apparently they had a thing. Not them particularly, but there was some kind of hacker group that they defederated from because the hacker group was like one of the main admins of it was like, "Oh yeah, we totally cooperate with the FBI when they ask for information."
Huh.
And the snouts was sort of like, "You know, we're not cool with federating with a narc." So they defederated from them, and apparently it was going through the rest of Mastodon as well. People being like, "I don't know if we want to like stay linked up to this group," you know? So there was just something I happened to see, like one of the snouts folks retweeting or retooting or tooting about it.
Rebageling.
Is that what we're calling
it? No, it's boost and snoot and toot. It's all cute. And, like, they have a different mascot every month. Like, I think this one's, like, a cute Snorlax. But every month they have a different, like, furry critter in the bottom right of the post button, the post menu.
Is that specifically Snouts, or is
it's Snouts' interface? So yeah, I'm sure it's specifically for Snouts.
I wasn't sure if it was a Mastodon thing or a Snout. No.
I think Mastodon's thing, like, originally it's just a little Mastodon in the bottom right corner, but it's as their individual servers. It's up to the owner to set them up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
cute. If you're using a app like Amarok,
it doesn't show.
It doesn't show up. But if you're so you have to post from the website.
Yeah.
To see that. Okay. Which makes sense. They'd have control over that because it's all run on the person's individual server.
Yeah. Like, it's cute, but it's not like all across the board.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. Let's stop and save.
Sugars trying to keep my coffee down. Go to sleep at 3:30 when I could pass out. 10 years of working at that dream. Stop wanting as much of the sugar and cream. The bitterness dulls the edge, and you can get to sleep by 10. We all kept saying that we won't get hard like everyone else. We all kept saying that we won't get old like everyone else. tell me to take it slow. Now I'm dreaming of a made-up past, wishing that time didn't kill so fast, sarcastically asking where have all the soldiers gone. They all kept saying that we won't get caught like everyone else.
Like everyone else.
They all kept saying that it won't get old like everyone else.
Like everyone else.
Make them great again, and we forget it's all pretend. And before too long we believe that it's everyone else. I was made to believe we're all uniquely human, and finding out exactly what that. Younger, I believed that we were all of equal worth. In the end, we'd all be fine if we did what's right. That the deck's not stacked and we could be whatever we want in the land of the free. But I see things every day that I just can't accept. And I'll keep saying that I'll never end up like everyone else.
So you guys just heard a song by Pepper Coyote, and what song would that be, Fuzz?
So that was Like Everyone Else. It's technically it's by Foxes and Peppers.
Cool.
So it's off of their new album, Spread Thy Wings, which I suggest you buy because it's really good. It's got a lot of good stuff on it. Like,
there will be links in the show notes with all the details.
And they're also on Spotify. And Pepper pointed out that like listening to his shit on Spotify does help get him more. I guess exposure.
Yeah.
It doesn't really pay you anything but exposure. But if you want to sample his stuff, their stuff before you buy, then yeah, it's a good outlet for doing that. But their stuff's on iTunes. They have a Bandcamp site. And as you know, Pepper did this show's intro song. So there's a little longer taste of his stuff if you're a new listener and maybe hadn't heard it before. So Pepper Coyote and Fox Amore, check them out.
I hear they're pretty good dudes.
They are. They're good shits.
We do have an email this week. You can always email us at southpawscast@gmail.com. You can hit us messages on Tumblr at southpawscast.tumblr.com. You can find us on Twitter at southpawscast, etc. So, we do have an email, though, about my sins in terms of Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, right. Yeah, I did see this email come in.
So I read it and was like, yeah, they're not wrong. So, Kingdom Hearts, The Correct Way. Dear Southpaws, and more specifically, Saverin, as I understand it, you are beginning to embrace one of my favorite game franchises of all time, and I wanted to contribute my advice on how to best enjoy the series. First, go back and play Kingdom Hearts 1, you quitter. I know the opening is obtuse, but get past the first few worlds and the majesty of this mashup of Disney and Final Fantasy really comes together for the epic finale. If you can tolerate the cancerous deck combat mechanics, then I'd recommend giving Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories another look, or at least watch the cutscenes as this installment contains a significant plot dump. Kingdom Hearts 2 is by far the highlight of the series, and should then be followed immediately by Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep. And then you finished all the games. Congratulations! Coincidentally, those are the four games that are on the compilation disc that I have.
Oh.
Write your own headcanon fanfiction for how all the remaining plot points are resolved, and burn any copies of Kingdom Hearts 3, Dream Drop Distance, or Kingdom Hearts 3 you have, and anyone who insists that you play them. Kingdom Hearts 3D, Dream Drop Distance, introduces Wibbly Wobbly, Time Travel, Discombobulation, Hippopotamus, Daniel Radcliffe, and Castle Far Far Away nonsense, and regretfully, Kingdom Hearts 3 has to be tethered to resolving the bullshit time paradox narrative as well as everything else. Kingdom Hearts 3 also suffers by massively simplifying the combat, gone is the nuance in time blocks and dodges and contextualized reaction command combat of Kingdom Hearts 2, and now you spam magic before one of the bullshit super moves comes accessible, and then you just press it and you win. Which, I've kind of heard that. Also, I know this is a pretty petty gripe, but the gravitas of the main villain in Kingdom Hearts 3 is harmed massively by the fact that Leonard Nimoy died between Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep and Kingdom Hearts 3. That's right, Leonard fucking Nimoy voiced the main villain in the Kingdom Hearts handheld console spinoff game. And while meaning no disrespect to the man, they got to replace him in Kingdom Hearts 3, comparing his voice to Leonard Nimoy is like comparing a fish paste sandwich to a fearsome whale penis spaghetti. I don't want either one of those. There are many other petty gripes I can make, like how the main character is written so Mary Sue-ly dumb, and how all the previous main game installments concluded with a totally unique and epic giant castle-filled world, while the final world in Kingdom Hearts 3 consists of a series of the same rock corridor and one room with the epic castle world, presumably just to taunt you with what could have been, because that one room shows the most interesting environment in the game. Overall, I'm just disappointed and bitter, perhaps you can tell. Sincerely, Salty Platypus. I'm guessing that's their Metal Gear Solid name.
Looking at Kingdom Hearts like, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
Well, Kingdom Hearts 2 is, thus far, I'm like 3/4 of the way through it. I'd been streaming that until I took a break and did like a full week of Astroneer and beat that game completely. Because honestly, God, I would get real bored at parts in Kingdom Hearts 2 that I'm literally like yawning on stream. And that's really bad.
Wow, yeah.
Like, I just now finished this incredibly long section which featured the best thing that King Mickey says. He's like, "Hi there, fellas! Are you talking about the Door to Darkness?"
Obama chuckled. You mean the Chaos Emeralds?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that a Kingdom Hearts reference?
The Chaos Emeralds? No, that's just a drill tweet, I think.
Okay.
Or a fanfiction.txt thing.
Oh, okay.
But no, I got to this portion in Kingdom Hearts 2 where you do the... It's literally just you fight 1,000 Heartless. You fight 1,000 monsters in this giant arena battle. It's just all reaction commands and you kill dozens at a time, but it still takes a long time.
Because I was going to say, yeah, that sounds like it would take a while.
And then, like, immediately preceding this is you're, like, doing these you alone plus one other Final Fantasy character short fights where, like, you fight alongside Squall and Cloud and Yuffie and these other Final Fantasy 7 and 8 characters. Like, you're fighting alongside these Final Fantasy-ass Final Fantasy characters while you're this doofy little boy with a giant key stick.
Sorry, I started thinking about Goofy's voice, and then I thought about, like, the... It was a tweet that someone wrote about how Goofy was Goofy Fox.
Oh, yeah.
And then someone had come in and they'd done the voiceover of it. You know, Maxie, your dad doesn't make love. Your dad fucks. And it was like, God damn.
And now there's like a couple of fights versus the organization members, and I'm just... and then, like, I had to go and revisit a bunch of worlds. I think I brought this up, like, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, where I was like, man, this sure is really straight. Where, like, every world wraps up with, and then the main characters hooked up and began fucking the moment you left. And Sora, being a teenager, doesn't know how to process this.
Right.
Because I'm finished up Aladdin, I have The Nightmare Before Christmas World to get finished, and then Lion King to finish, and then the finale of the game. Mm-hmm. So I'm like the vast majority of the way through the game. I just need to seal the deal and finish the game on stream. Mm-hmm. Twitch.tv/Saverin or Finnick.top. But yeah, I mean, once you get ability unlocks, the game does get a lot more fun. But like early on, you're literally like air comboing constantly. I don't know if the skills are similar in 1 to 2, which I'm going to guess not, because games refine themselves over time. You know, once you get past the interminable opening section of 2, it's actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just sounds like so much effort.
Yeah. Like, it's one of those games where in 2005, if I had been into that series, I mean, 2005, I would have been fucking 22. So I was a little too old for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were like a teenager in that time, your aesthetic would be like, you're going to be horny for Axl. You want to make a Lion like King.
Axl Rose from Guns N' Roses.
I'll show you a picture of the guy. He's this red-haired spiky boy. I'll show you later. And like, really think that Sora's fursona in the Lion King world looks really, really cute. And then you model your OC. So you have a Lion King who's also a Lion King / Kingdom Hearts OC. And then you get really deep in the weeds on the DeviantArt.
So the Lion Kingdom Hearts.
Yes. And then there's that weird section in the Kingdom Hearts 2 where the lionesses are like, you're a male. You could be the new king if you can kill Scar. And he's like, I could be drowning in lion pussy. Wait. Oh, no. So, yeah, Kingdom Hearts, I'm wrapping up that. I don't plan on doing 3 anytime soon. I do have the collection that has a number of the games. I'm going to reach over here to my left. Oh no, I put it on my game shelf.
And that was the new Pepper song, Where the Fuck Did I Put My Shit?
So, yes, the Kingdom Hearts 1.5, 2.5 remix set, remastered in high definition, which is not Kingdom Hearts, the story so far. There's actually there's a further compilation that has like a couple more things that there's like 8 total things worth of bullshit in there. So this has Kingdom Hearts 1 Final Mix, Kingdom Hearts 2 Final Mix, the Reach RE Chain of Memories, which is takes place between Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, and then Birth by Sleep Final Mix takes place also between 1 or 2, but is a different side story.
Saverin, I am a fan of a time travel show that has been literally running for 56 years, and keeping track of its canon does not sound half as fucking complicated as what you just described.
Oh, and like the Kingdom Hearts 358 2 days takes place. So it's Kingdom Hearts 1,
you're just Chain of Memories,
then Birth by Sleep, but then also 386 2 days.
You're making
all
noises,
happen. So it's like this. And then there's like some other games that happen like both before the first game and like after 2. Because fuck me, I guess. Oh, and also, these came out in vastly different orders. Like, this was PS2, this was Game Boy Advance, this was PlayStation 2, but like, this one was PSP, that one was PSP, and I think this one was on like the 3DS.
So it's like a crossover event across 20 years of game consoles.
Yes. So, basically, Kingdom Hearts is a fucking mess. You would have a better time keeping track of the Doctor and his timeline more than you would keeping track of Kingdom Hearts. And I've listened to, I think, 6 or 7 hours of Waypoint's Lore Reasons podcast where they try to go through the Kingdom Hearts lore chronologically.
Wait, for 6 or 7 hours?
It's across, like, 4 or 5 podcasts, but yes. Wow. And I realized I gave up at some point because I'm like, this is too dense.
you didn't listen for a minute because you're like, oh, I need to pull over to the gas station, and then realize you had no idea what they were talking about. Like, oh, shit.
Who the fuck is Vanitas?
I don't know. Is that a real thing?
Yes, that's a character's name.
Okay, all right.
And Terra and Aqua and Vanitas and Zehanort and Ansem and...
Put down the dictionary. Stop saying random words.
So, I mean, you know, you'll have a better time making sense of Dragon Ball and, you know, maybe Injustice 2 or the new Mortal Kombat game where, like, they're just like, we're mashing everything up because fuck it.
Or how Star Trek Discovery smooshes between Star Trek Enterprise and Star Trek.
Yeah. Like, seriously, the timeline of Kingdom Hearts is beyond fucked. But that's okay, because there are the hardcore fans, and the aesthetic is neat, and I will say that if I was, in fact, an edgy teenager in that time frame of when those came out, that would have been my shit. Mm-hmm. But I was a little too old for it.
I'm sure. I mean, everyone grows up with something. And it's like, I remember movies that were like, that were widely panned by critics, and everyone sort of agrees that they're horrible. But like, I have a soft spot for them because it came out when I was of a certain age, and so it was like my first exposure to blah. And
well, I mean, if you didn't have fucking Mickey, Goofy, and Donald on this, this would just be like kind of a generic JRPG cover. And you got Sora sitting on the throne of blades from well before Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I mean, it looks a lot like it, except, you know, for the goofy designs of the swords.
And then you got, like, the one on the left where you've got this bald motherfucker, but then there's those dudes behind him, and it's all, what does it mean? It's a really neat aesthetic look.
Like, is one of these guys Wolverine?
Possibly.
Like, that character kind of looks like Wolverine.
Oh, yeah. There's some spiky motherfuckers. So, basically, video games, man. They're weird. And it's all about, like, what you're going to devote your time to doing. So, even doing streaming at a, like, multiple hour a night thing, this is not a game that you can, like, start and then, if somebody is watching you stream it and then they miss a couple days, you are going to be 10 worlds ahead and people are going to be like, what the fuck? Where are you? Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier for games like Hollow Knight, which are not like super narrative based, or Astroneer, where I am a cute space person fucking around in an alien environment.
Yeah, you seem to enjoy that one.
A lot. That was a lot of fun.
Cool. Cool.
That's like $30. But I bought it like when it was on like super mega early access way back in the day. So Kingdom Hearts, it's all right. I will probably finish 2 and be like, that's nice. And then Sora and Kairi and, like, Goofy all went and fucked, I guess. I don't know. And then Sora went back to the Lion King world and drowned in lion pussy. And then Simba came up and slapped his shit because lions are not very friendly to other male lion cubs.
Yeah.
Which is actually pretty funny because, like, in the game, I was like, yo, Simba's gonna slap Sora's shit. And he did, like, initially.
Oh, okay.
Like, you're another male lion. Whack!
Right.
You know. But anyways, so, video games and everything. This show, it is the full thing, let me tell you. At this point, it's
pretty amazing how much we've talked about video games on a show where Shiva's not here.
Yeah.
And, like, you guys are the ones that play video games, and I'm just sort of like, is this some game? I mean,
is this a meme? Is this a pigeon?
Yeah.
You know?
I love the mashup one where he's in the little dog's burning room and he says, is this fine?
Yeah. So video games, they're okay. Gamers, not so much. Mm-hmm. What can you do? But enjoy your games and don't be a shit person online.
It would seem like a fairly easy thing. I mean, everyone trips up occasionally, but holy shit, man. Some of y'all step back a couple dozen paces.
Yeah. Slow your roll perhaps a little bit. Yeah. So we should probably wrap it up because we're about 90 minutes raw audio. That'll be much shorter by the time I get done with getting the ums and ahs and the pauses and the part where I wander out of the room to find my goddamn disc box because I didn't know. I rearranged. Like, I went, and if you notice, maybe, you probably don't as much, I gave away almost all my pony shit. I got rid of it. Like, all the Funkos that I had up there.
Okay. I rearranged all my discs. Some stuff. I haven't looked around in a while.
I donated them to a woman whose daughter would probably be interested in them, and if not, they're going to get donated to a children's hospital.
Oh, okay. Sure.
So they have been pawned off onto someone who is going to either appreciate them or to a bunch of children who will appreciate them.
Yeah.
So I rearranged all my shit, got all my games onto one thing. So I rearranged in there, and I'm like, oh, shit, I moved things around. Where is my stuff? So if you have any Kingdom Hearts hot takes or any other comments on this week's show, feel free to email us at southpawscast@gmail.com. And also check us out on Patreon. Fun fact, we do a sideshow called Fox and Wolf Movie Time with Doggo. And our episodes for both DOA and Black Sheep, which we recorded this last week, are going to be released a week late on patreon.com/southpawscast for people to view after the you know, people that give us a dollar get it. And our all the supplementary stuff we do outside of the main show, like Fox and Wolf Movie Time, is free content for Patreon subscribers. So check that out. You know, toss a buck or two our way if you like it. You can give us a buck an episode or just a buck a month if you, like, just set a limit per month. You can do that. That's cool. You can find me on twitter.com at Saverin Drake. You can find me at snouts.online at just Saverin. You can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/Saverin, where I will play video games and pontificate about the news of the day. I think yesterday I was talking about universal healthcare and the like for a little bit while running around as a spaceman. Fuzz, where can people find you?
Currently still on Twitter at Fuzzwolf. I don't really use Mastodon enough to bother. Buy books from me at both forplanet.com or baddogbooks.com, depending on your medium of choice. Both of those names are also Twitter accounts you could follow for furry writing related stuff. Oh, if you're into furry writing stuff, see the vice president. One of the officers at the Furry Writers Guild wanted folks to start using the hashtag furry writing on Twitter. So if, like, you're announcing, like, a new story or a new book that you've written is coming out, or you want to talk about furry writing, you know, and use the hashtag. That way he can easily find it when putting together the Writing Guild news bulletins. But it also kind of helps create a community on Twitter, you know, so folks want to find each other and talk about furry writing and so forth. So I thought that was a neat idea, and I need to remember to do it myself. But that's about it. I'm reading stuff, and yeah, that's me. Yep. I'm done.
All right,
Like, have a bottle of melatonin and get some sleep.
Yeah, it's 9:30, and, like, I was dozing off a little bit right at the start, but now that we've actually gotten into the podcasting, I'm, like, awake again, which is good.
Yeah,
because
I'm awake now, but, oh, my God, when we first started, it was sort of like, okay, body, all of your resources are diverted to fucking digesting this huge Mexican meal, which was really good.
But that's fine, because Panther has a 3 a.m. change window, so I have to be up till then anyway to edit. So I'm going to edit this show and get it out, like, tonight.
Yay!
So on that note, good night!
And buy my books.